Let's receive by saying, praise the Lord. Everyone, please stand.
Hallelujah.
And greet by saying, praise the Lord.
Church, let the dark cloud arise, and let's go home. Church, let the dark cloud arise, let's go home. You see the lightning flashing, hear the thunder roll. Let the dark cloud arise, and let's go home. Oh, preacher, let the dark cloud arise, and let's go home. Let's go home. Can't you see the lightning flashing? Hear the thunder roll. Dark cloud arising. Let's go home. Oh, mother, there's a dark cloud arising. Let's go home. Mother, there's a dark cloud arising. Let's go home. There's a dark cloud arising, let's go home. Church, there's a dark cloud arising, let's go home. Can you see lightning flashing? Can you hear the thunder roll? Church, there's a dark cloud arising, let's go home. Hallelujah. Lightning flashing of life and the thunder's rolling. It's time to go and maybe seated in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. We praise our God for being here, his goodness and his mercy. Amen. He's everlasting. We praise him. We honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and we honor all of you that are here, especially to our assistant pastor, Dr. Thomas Purcell Jr., second assistant pastor, Evangelist Jones, and certainly Deacon Elder Henry Smith, and I'm glad to see Elder Hamilton, his friend. Amen. Praise God for one more time. Amen. We're just glad. I don't know where the rest of the folks are, but we are here. Hallelujah. We got to flow with what we got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The most important thing that God is here. Amen. We love it. We thank God for his wonderful blessings and for the peace he's given to us. The scripture says it's another day that the Lord has made. And he said, I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I'm not thinking about tomorrow right now. I'm living in the day. Amen, amen. We don't tomorrow, I might not see tomorrow. So I'm going to make the best I can make while it's day. Amen, amen. I don't want to waste any time, because in my whole lifetime, I wasted a lot of time. But I praise God, amen. I think the scripture talking about must redeem the time. You know, so they say you can't unring the bell. If you want you to ring the bell, you can't unring it. And once you lose that time, you can't go back and gain it. You lose that day you had yesterday, what you should have done yesterday, you didn't do it. You can't go back and do it. It's gone forever. So I'm asking God, let me make the best use of the time that you've given me. I don't know how long I'll be here. You don't know how long you're going to be here, but however long it is, amen, we want God to know, amen, how much we appreciate him and how he puts up with us. He puts up with all of us. Amen. We don't deserve it, but he's a good God. Scripture will be as brief as possible. We've got another service at 5:30, so this is going to be a long, full day. Amen. But it's another day that the Lord has made. I don't control the time, so whatever God says to do, I'm willing to do it. One scripture. That was 3 John
2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That's pretty powerful scripture. Amen. Beloved, I wish above all, if everything is, so God is not a God that don't want you to prosper. Amen. If you want to be a trillionaire, that's fine. God wants you to be a trillionaire. If you want to live in a mansion, God wants you to live in a mansion. Hallelujah. He said, above all, that you may prosper and not be sick, but be in health even as your soul prospers. So God wants a whole man to prosper. Amen. So from that scripture, we're going to talk about be what God designed and desires you to be. Amen. Be what God designed and desire you to be. You know, every one of us were made for a reason and a purpose. You didn't get here by accident. In the plan of God, amen, God had your name out there. He had what he wanted you to be and where he wanted you to go, what he wanted you to do. But sometimes man messes up. Amen. God's design and God's desire, when he put Adam in the Garden of Eden for him to just till the garden, just live forever and don't have to worry about work, pay no bills, no pain, no sorrow, but he messed it up. Amen. And sometimes God designed things for us to do, but with our own way of doing things, we mess it up. But God loves us anyhow. Even though Adam messed up, the first man messed up, he did what he should not have done. But you know, God still had mercy on him. So you have to go out and work now, but at least you're not going to die. Hallelujah. And because of that, if God gave the first man another chance, he gives us another chance. Aren't you glad God is the God of the second, third, and fourth, fifth, and sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth chance? Glory, he's a good God. But I want to be what God designed me to do and what he desires for me to do. Yes. He scripture above all, I wish this what would happen to you. Romans 9 and 20 says, but nay, O man, who art thou that replieth against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Why did you make me like I am? You can't ask God that. God had a particular purpose for making you who you are, who you look like, and how tall you're going to be, how fat you're going to be. Even though you eat a lot, sometimes that's your fault. Amen. But everything about you, God designed it. Nothing happened by it. Accident. God knows everything that's going to happen to us. He has us in his hands. Yeah. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. We look like God. That's what it is. He created us in his own image and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So God created us, amen, to be who we are. God created you to be where you are right now. No, you didn't design this day. God had it on his calendar before you even born. Amen. That's how powerful God is. Jeremiah, you know, the weeping prophet, but even sometimes the prophet can go off track, you know, because sometimes stuff can happen to us and God has designed a purpose for us, but because of all the oppositions we go through, we sort of get off track. Right. Say, well, she doesn't like me, he doesn't like me, and they listen to what I'm saying, but you got to still do what God says to do. Amen. Jeremiah Here's what God told Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Look what he says. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Yes, yes. He said, ain't nothing new about you, boy. I know you before you even got here. Hallelujah. And before you came out of your mother's womb, he said, I sanctified thee. I'm talking about God's design. I sanctified thee and I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. He said, boy, before you even got out of your mother's womb, I called you as a prophet. That's our design. That's what I wanted you to do. But Jeremiah, being the kind of human that he was, and sometimes we being the kind of humans that we are, yes, Lord, I know you told me to do this, but, you know, I just got off track a little bit. Jeremiah chapter 20, listen, it says, now, Pashur, the son of Emma, the priest, who also was chief governor of the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. He heard what he said. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet. Lord have mercy. Y'all be ready for a fight. And put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass that on the next day that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks and said unto him, listen, the Lord has not called thy name Pashur. He said, listen, no, we'll change your name. But Magor Mishabeb, it's a big name. Then Jeremiah, God, you know, God said, okay, Jeremiah, you're going to be a prophet now. So he's prophesying to this guy. He said, for thus saith the Lord, behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, and they shall fall by the sword of thy own enemies. And then I shall behold, and you're going to see it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into the Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the laborers thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasures of the king of Judah will I give into the hand of the enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. Yes. And thou, Pashur, and all that dwell in your house shall go into captivity, prophesying. And thou shalt come into Babylon, and thou shalt die. That's his prophecy. He's giving the word. And be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies. O Lord, look, this is what it said. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. Now Jeremiah talking, he's a prophet, and he just gave a prophecy, and he's switching. I am in derision daily. Everybody talking about me. So that's what God designed you for, Jeremiah. That's what he desires of you. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because of the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. He said, because these folk talk about me, they don't like to receive what I'm saying. Even you, though you designed me to be a prophet and to speak your word. Listen what he says. A prophet. Now I'm talking about a prophet. Here's what Jeremiah said in verse number 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him. I will not speak anymore. I'm not gonna prophesy no more. I'm tired of this. Folks just don't listen to me anyway. I'm not going to do this anymore. But something triggered in him. But he said, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. God, I realized the fact that God designed me. He desires me to be a prophet no matter what the opposition is. So he said, I'm going to do what God told me to do. Lord, have mercy. God's desire is for us to profit, to be prosperous, and to have good things. Some folks tell you, well, you can't have this, you can't have that, you can't drive a Porsche, you can't drive a Lamborghini, you can't live there, you can't. No, God said, I want you to prosper. So don't get in your mind that you can't prosper. God does not desire for you to not have stuff. Hallelujah. Amen. God desires for you to have money. Amen. In 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 banks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's his desire for you. Hallelujah. He desires. I believe so much in the Lord, what God desires of me. And I'm going to go down to the Mercedes-Benz dealer, and I'm going to look at this Mercedes-Benz, and I'm looking at it and say, I like that. That one looked pretty good. Just give me both of them. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, God said, he was going to give you the desires of your heart. If you don't desire anything, you're not going to get anything. You have not because you ask not. I wish above all that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prosper. Then 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. But is long suffering to us. God puts up with us. Even though we don't do what we ought to do, but God keeps on. God, I suffer. I'm going to stick with you. And God is so good, this scripture says. He is not willing that any should perish. It's not God's desire for you to perish. But that all should come to repentance. God's desire for everybody to be saved, not perish. So then how do we then get that non-perishable life? Well, Acts 2:21 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all you got. You call on my name and I won't save you. That's my desire, is to save you. That's God's desire, that everybody be saved. You know, some folks say, you're too rotten to be saved. No, that's not what the scripture says. I desire that everyone be saved. God's desire is for you not to be a weakling. God's desire is for you to be strong. Joel 2:3-10 said, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I'm strong. You got to tell yourself, because God says you're going to be strong. Let the weak say I'm strong. And plus God said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Tell the devil, get away from you.
Hallelujah.
God's desire that you be strong. Now we talked about this scripture for a long time, about 4, 5, 6 years ago. I'm almost through. The 20th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, God talks about, he was talking to the Israelites, but we are, that's Abraham's seed. We're part of Abraham's seed. Yeah, I am. Y'all don't claim, but I claim I'm part of Abraham's seed. God's desire to is God's desire to give you blessings. He said in Deuteronomy 28:2, and all of these blessings shall come on you. They're gonna just jump on you. That's I desire all of these blessings to come on you and to overtake you. That's God's desire. And let me tell you, well, you can't have this, you know, you can't pay your bill, and they're gonna repossess this, they're gonna repossess that, but no, God said, I'm gonna let your blessing overtake you. Amen. Y'all don't believe that? I believe that. You have not because you have, you don't believe. Or you ask amiss. I know he said that, but no, God said, I'm going to let your blessing overtake you. Amen. If you hearken or listen to the voice of God. The enemy is telling us all that we can't make and we can't do this. But God, it's not God that's telling you that. God said, I want you to prosper. I desire for you to prosper. So then the blessing is going to overtake us. So what do you want from the Lord? What blessing do you want from the Lord? See, sometimes we ask God for something, but because it won't come in a certain period of time, we just give it up. I am never going to give up on God. Don't give up on God because he will not give up on you. I don't give up on what I ask God. Hey, they say he may not come when you want him, but he's on time. He's on time, God. Yes, he is. You wait for it. Wait for it. Hallelujah. Glory. Sometimes it's hard to wait. You know, we live in a microwave society. Amen. You just want it now. Hallelujah. I remember when I was in the military and I was in finance and paying travel, and we compute people's travel expenses when they come in. And sometimes they'd be complaining about how long it was taking. And the old sergeant heard them overheard them talking. So this old little short sergeant, he said, you got to wait till the water will warm up to get coffee. So everything's not instant. We want it just right now. Have it and grab it. But you wait on God. If God made that promise, I'm waiting on it. I've got stuff now I've asked God for. I'm not giving up on it. Hallelujah. I'm still waiting. Amen. It might come tomorrow. It might come before I leave today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you. I go out sometime looking for it. Huh? Okay. All right. I get up. Go out and look out the window. Amen. Sound foolish to some people, but God promised that. Faith has to be foolish. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence that I don't even see it, but God said it. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be in good health, even as your soul prospers. God desires that we defeat our enemies. I'm talking what God designed. He wants you to defeat. And the word says, Deuteronomy 28:7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten. He's going to cause. He said, you're not going to smite them, but he said, I'm going to cause your enemies to be smitten right before your face. And sometimes we want to take it in our own hand. But God said, they shall come out against thee one way, and they're going to flee seven. God going to scatter them. Let the enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. And God desires that we have plenty I'm not, God is not a skimpy God. You know, he said, my desire is for you to just have all kinds of stuff. Amen. If you don't want, I take yours too if you don't want it. Amen. Amen. I don't care what folks say about me, glory. Amen. If I got 5 cars, glory to God, I just drive one every day and maybe get to 7 and drive one every day and say, amen. Amen. Praise God. As long as I help somebody else, I can have all I want. So he said, listen. He said to the children of Israel, he says to us, in verse number 11, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods. What? He gonna make you plenty in goods. That's plenty in money, plenty in cars, plenty in houses, plenty in suits, plenty in dresses, plenty in wigs, plenty in shoes, and plenty, plenty. Fill your closet up. God said you're going to have plenty of stuff. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to make you plenteous. Come on, Lord, drop it on me. That's what he said. I'm just reading what the word says. He's going to make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body. The Lord shall open up thee his good treasure. Listen, in God's treasury is more than what Fifth Third Bank has. It's more than what Bank of America has. It's more than what the United States Treasury has. God said, I'm going to open you my treasury. Yes. And everything is in God's treasury. I mean, if we start thinking that way, you think because we don't have, no, God said, I'm going to open my treasury unto you. The heaven shall give thee rain upon thy land in his season, and bless all the works of thine hand. And thou shalt lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. I'll get to the point where I don't have to borrow from anybody. Because you become slave to the lender. God said, no, I'm gonna switch this around. You won't have to borrow. You want to lend. You don't have to borrow from anybody. You lend. That's what he says. Lord. And when we think we have a lack, and I rely, Dr. Percy, on this particular scripture a whole lot. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, Philippians 4:19. It says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God said, I got so much stuff, I'll just give you stuff in abundance. Hallelujah. What do you need from the Lord? Well, I need this and I need that. God said, I got your supply. And you can hold God to his word. He said, I want you to be blessed. I don't want you to be lack or slack or without. But if your faith is weak and doubt is in your mind, things are not going to go good for you. I have had many occasions in my life that I could have just given up and said, well, it must be the Lord's will. No, it's not God's will for me to be down and out. God's gonna make somebody give me something. I've done that all my life. I'm talking about, I have lived what I'm preaching about today. That God has made folks do things for me. I'm going to quit then. I have to give you my testimony again. Hallelujah. Listen. In my lifetime, I don't remember any promotion I got that I asked for. It sounds strange to y'all, but it is called favor. If you believe God, I was brought up to believe that way, and not one promotion I ever got that I asked for, not one. The first promotion I ever got, I was working for the University of Illinois. I was going to school during the day, working at night. I'm talking about full-time school, business college during the day, and at night, during the night, I should say, and at daytime, at nighttime, I'm working for the University of Illinois. In daytime, I'm going to school. And I said, Lord, how am I going to be able to study my lessons and pass this course and got to work, got to support my family? So one day, out of the blue, I hadn't even been on the job in maybe 6 months. I don't know. But, you know, 6 months is usually a probationary period. But God will waive the probationary period when he's going to bless you. That woman called me to her office, and she told me, here's what she said. She said, I want you to be in charge of the night shift. She said, because I want maturity on this job. And that's what she said. I didn't ask her that. She said out of her own mouth. I said, okay. But I said, Lord, look at God. Hallelujah. You know, so I was able, and my responsibility, I didn't have to do all these things, you know, taking this work job and taking this work. I just assigned it to somebody else. And guess what? God is an awesome God, y'all. Here's what God did. I'm worried about how am I going to study my lesson. So we had one machine, they call them IBM, great big old machine over the next one. What people did back in the day when they had those cars run through, you know, all these tape and all that stuff. But some of those machines, you run all these folks' cars through a machine and the job they want you to produce, and then we take it over to the big machine with the output. And that big machine and the output, you just sit there and watch it go. You know what? I assigned myself to that machine. You know, I'm telling you, you know, I got my books out. I knew that machine because sometimes that job will last for an hour or so. I'm sitting there studying my lesson. Just ain't moving a lick. And I did that till I graduated. And, you know, and I didn't ask for that. Hallelujah. But I got graduated, got paid at the same time. Glory to God. And that job that I graduated got me another job with the Illinois Department of Revenue. Hallelujah. And here I am, the only African American that was in that particular group. But you know, God said, I'm going to make something for you. And one day, there's timing in the kingdom of God. I have to tell y'all this story so you know. I'm talking about what reality. I'm talking, now, I'll give you all the stuff that the scripture says. I'm talking about what happened to me. And here I'm in this job, and August 1st, 1969, I got this job with the Illinois Department of Revenue. And that's the first day that the Illinois Department of Revenue income tax came online. So God put me in a position that I was able to study that, and I became well-versed in the income tax and bloom, and because folks would come in and have their taxes done, and they had problems, and I had to dig and find out what's what. And I did that. God strategically put me there because the lawyers, and the bookkeepers, and accountants would come to me for information. And sometimes I'm in a room with 100 lawyers, CPAs, and they listen to me. God is using me. Why would he do that? Because he's God. He put me in that position. And one day, a man came from Springfield, which is our headquarters, And he was going to, you know, he's going to change the revenue department. He wanted to create a position called a field collection supervisor. That's what he called it. And you know what? I didn't even think about it. But the two guys in my office, who was the district tax administrator and the collection manager, they called me into the office and said, you know, this field collection manager job is coming up. We want you to take it. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. And I got that job. I don't have to go out and collect from people anymore. I send other folks out to collect. That's what it did. Then I got assigned to a place. Let me see, make sure I get this right. It was at least 100 miles from home. I lived in Champaign, Illinois, but they assigned me 100 miles away. And I drove every weekend for, 10 years, all the way from Peoria, Illinois, to Champaign, Illinois, to pastor and preach a church. I did that for about 10 years. But you know what? One day, God assigned me, a position came open in another place about 90 miles away. Because no, it really was 180 miles, believe it or not. Because Peoria, then Rock Island, then Champaign. So God sent me to a job as a promotion. Yeah. And listen what happened. I'm going, you listen to me now. I'm sitting at my desk one day, and the phone rang. And a guy called me, he said, Verdell, have you gotten your application in here? I said, application for what? He said, for the district tax administrator in Peoria. I said, no. He said, get that application in here. I said, okay. I sent the application in, went down, interviewed me that day, and next day come, said, okay, you got the job. Got my job as a district tax administrator. The same job that I had, the same job that the guy that I first started working for, I had the same position he had. And I'm sitting there, Lord, look what you're doing. Fast forward, I worked in that job, And then they changed titles. I got that change in title. Every time money went up. And I'm going to tell you one thing. The personnel department reclassified the position to a lower paying position, but I got a raise. Y'all ain't going to believe that, but I got a raise on a reclassification, downgrade of the job, but I got a raise because there was some little glitch there that they had to give me a raise. Now, whoever get a demotion and a raise at the same time, that's what happened to me. And I was in that job, I told you this. And then this department decided, we're gonna reconfigure all of these territories. Because I was in charge of audit and collection. We're gonna reconfigure this to have one audit in one office, collection in another office. And we're going to put these three or four positions in there. And it said, Jones, I want you to run this program to see if it works. And I would give periodic reports. And he said, it works pretty good. You proved that it works. But when they made the reconfiguration, politics got involved. Y'all listen to me. And they had four positions in this new configuration, but my name wasn't on it. Y'all hear me? Everybody tell me, John, I can't believe they did that to you. If I were you, I'd do this. If I were you, I'd do this. But you know, I knew I wasn't dumb. I said, okay, I'm just going to follow normal procedures. I made out me a grievance form, sent it in. Boy, they called me right away. He said, we got your grievance. And he said, I said, yeah, because I'm the one that proved to you that this system works. He said, well, somebody told us you didn't want the job. I said, I didn't tell you that. Hallelujah. So he said, come to Springfield. We're going to talk to you. And I got in my blue Cadillac. And I was riding that road in my blue Cadillac. And as I was going, Lord God is my help. I got to tell you this. I rolled down that road. And as I was driving to Springfield, Illinois, the Lord spoke this into my spirit. He told me, if they ask me a question, here's the answer. And when God is my help, when I walked into the office and he asked me, he talked to him for a little while, and he asked me a question, what do you think we ought to do? Now he done put me in charge. He's the one that got to make the decision. I said, I'll tell you what, listen, I know all about this configuration. The way y'all have drawn up the demographics is too much for four people. It's spread too thin. You need at least one more region. He said, we can do that. And they made me the region administrator. And they call it, folks tease me, they call it the Jones region. I don't care what you call it. I just want the money. And I got that job, sister, man. And I worked until I retired. But God did it. And one more story I'm going to tell you. Because I feel like talking to and telling what God can do. Because I've given you the script. But I want you to relate it to what God did for me. In that job, when I used to interview people, I would tell them one of the selling points was that, you know, this is a job that you won't have layoffs and problems. But they came up with an idea, we need to do more with less. And so they're going to lay off a whole bunch of folks. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What are they going to do? I wasn't going to get word. God, would I be affected? But God had a plan. When they decide to lay off all of these folks, God is my witness. First of all, they moved me back to my home where I live. I forgot to tell you that. I got transferred back to the office that I started in as the manager. That's what he did. And I went to the lunchroom one day, and I'm looking on the bulletin board, and I'm saying, what's that? What? It said, the Illinois Department of Revenue has decided to give early retirements, early out. And the thing said, you can retire with 5 years of service. I had over 20 years of service. So I got that, I'm okay. But the clicker was, you can retire December 31 if you have at least 5 years of service. And if you are 55 by December 31st. I was 55 on November 21st. Y'all ain't gonna. And you know what? I retired from that job at the age of 55 with health insurance, life insurance, dental insurance, vision insurance, and prescription insurance. Yeah. And to top that off, They said, okay, what you have to do? He said, look, you can add 5 years to your retirement service. If you got 25 or 20, you'd end up with 30 years. So, but what you have to do, you can add that to the years of longevity. He said, you pay 50% of the into it, and then we'll pay 50%. So it sounds all right to me. So they pay 50%. I pay, so it adds 5 more years to my longevity. And the other clicker was, you know, you're not old enough to receive Social Security because you're only 55. But in our pay configuration, we're going to figure it as if you were receiving it. Y'all ain't going to believe this. So they, even though I was not 65, they paid me as if I were 65. Until I reached 65, then I applied for Social Security. Now, who could do that but God? I wish above all that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And now, I retired 20-some years, almost 30 years ago. Get a check every month, in electronic deposit. Hallelujah. Because when I got out, I decided I'm going to go back to work again. So I applied for the job with the Kentucky Revenue Department, and they hired me. And listen, Dr. Hamilton, I was driving from Louisville to Frankfurt every day to work. But God is my help. One day, the supervisor called me into his office. And he says to me, I'm living in Louisville now. He said, we're going to open an office in Louisville. Well, it wants you to be the collection manager. What? Lord have mercy. And I got transferred from Frankfurt. Don't have to drive to Frankfurt no more. The office never, ever had an office in Louisville. They opened the office in Louisville, and I got the job. Down on 7th Street, and the office is still down there, by, right across from the police station. My wife knows that. She can tell you. Now, I can tell you what the scripture said, but I'm telling you what God did. He does want you to prosper, but I learned that lesson in Sunday school, and I just believe God anyhow. Right. Amen. I'm done. How'd I get off on all that? But listen, but I'm on and you really, that's not half of the story. Man, I got a whole lot of stuff I could tell you, but I'm going to tell you. But it was a God. Why would God do that for me? I'm no different than you. God is no respecter of persons. But I've tried to dedicate myself to the service of God and just let God do his thing. And he has blessed me beyond me. I'm not even supposed to be living today. Ain't no way in the world I could be living today. There's no way in the world just having them. There's no way in the world, Dr. Person, that I'm alive. I should have been dead when I was 10. Mm-hmm. 10. The last story. Now listen. I should have been dead, said the person, living down in the country where the roads weren't paved or dirt roads got gravel and all that stuff on it. And a man's car stopped. It was dark at night. He come knocked on my father's door. He said, my car stopped because he could come down to help me. And I'm a little kid, I'm just following my father, you know, and we're down on the road and I'm standing in front of the car. All of a sudden, boom, a drunk came down the road with his lights off, hit the car that I was standing in front of, knocked me to the ground, and it drug me down. I just feel my chest, and I can just feel the grab cutting my face. And I heard my father begin to call the names of his sons. when they called my name, I'm like, I heard it like way off in the distance. I said, And I heard him say, "Help me get this car off my son, please." And they picked that car up and pulled me from, just like it was yesterday, pulled me from underneath that car. And the man said, "You want me to take him to the doctor?" I said, "No, I don't want to go." And I lived. But you know what? Just like, who did God put a sign on? His brother killed his brother, you know what I'm talking about. Cain, you know, so nobody bothered him. But that accident I had when I was about 10 years old, about 75 years ago, God left a right in my head. There's a mark that's been there for about 70 years of that accident. It just was, yeah, I can't even erase it. If you look pretty close, you'll see it. I got my hand on it right now. Got a little dent in my head as a reminder to me of what God brought me out of. Put your hands together and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm through. The preacher's through. But I just had to tell you that because, you know, that's what God did. That's why I got to serve. I have to serve God. I owe God something. And God did it for me. The song said there's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. There's no secret what God can do. If you need prayer, whatever you need from the Lord today, we stand here, amen, to help you get the victory. If I got the victory, it wasn't just reserved for me. Everybody, hallelujah. There is no secret what God can do. What is done Father, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, pardon you. There is no secret what God can do. Hallelujah. There is no secret what God can do. Hallelujah. Done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, hallelujah, he'll pardon you. There is no secret with God. Time.